Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So at the end of the Mike Evans Family Foundation Gala, they turn on the Lightning game against the Rangers. And a lot of people stayed. It was in this ballroom at the Marriott, just down the street from Annalee. I'm telling you, Steve, you were there. You were in the arena, of course. And they had the volume up where we were, and it was very loud. And that's among the most exciting few minutes I think I've seen in Lightning hockey. I know they've won two Stanley Cups. I know that they've been this far before. But these moments where, like, between the time that the Rangers, well, first of all, Steven Stamkos gets the penalty. The Rangers tie it up, and then what? Less than 30 seconds later,
21 Stamkos, seconds later,
yeah, Stamkos for the game winner. That exchange right there, like that little—if you could take that time capsule—that's among the most excited I think Lightning fans have, like, in Lightning history. Like, if you could just take that, and then we'll see what happens. Of course, we're trying to talk about the history that they're trying to make. Going to their third straight, they've already made it, going to the third straight Stanley Cup. But that exchange between the time that, you know, the Rangers tie it, Stamkos goes to the box, the Rangers tie it, and then he comes out and scores. I'm telling you, that was some fantastic Tampa Bay sports right there. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, if you know, watching the game or if you were there, the Lightning for the first 40 minutes of that game put on a clinic in hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rangers had 22 shot attempts in the first 40 minutes.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I looked up at the, I think I want to say at the end of the second period, they had about 12 or 14 shots,
yeah,
something like that, maybe.
Yeah, the Lightning absolutely suffocated the Rangers, who were on the brink of elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely suffocated. Now, in the third period, they did come out, and they were throwing everything they had at it. And they got a couple power plays, which helped them. Which ultimately got him the game.
Got him the goal.
I mean, it was a party. I mean, you could feel it that the Lightning are winning this game. I mean, the only thing you were thinking going in the third is don't take a penalty.
Right.
Because the Rangers have zero answers. I mean, absolutely no answers for what the Lightning. Cirelli, Killorn, and Hagel. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember a shift they were in their own end.
Hmm.
They were constantly in the Rangers' end. And while they didn't score, the Rangers could do nothing to them. They're just cycling the puck around and just forechecking. And Zibanejad or whoever, and that's usually who they were out there against, could do nothing. Absolutely nothing in this game. It was a clinic of what they did. Stamkos ends up taking that penalty. They get a power play goal, and you're thinking, oh, crap. As well as this team has played.
Right.
You know, but to come out the next shift and then score, and so you've got 5 minutes and change left, and you allowed two shots the rest of the way as the Rangers are facing elimination. That's it.
Yeah.
It was a clinic what they did.
Yeah, it reminded me of last year, to some extent the year before. And the thing is, like, Igor Shesterkin was really good. Like, that could have been a much, you know, they could have been winning by more than one goal. So it was a very competitive game from that standpoint. Both goaltenders were great. But they have a commitment when they're dialed in, when they're making you go 200 feet, when they're, you know, forechecking the way they do, and they have so much zone time and putting so many pucks on the net, they just suffocate you. I mean, they just squeeze the life out of you, and you can see the frustration, you know, on the Rangers. And I mean, look, we're always going to go back to this moment, right? Down 2-0, down 2-0 in game 3. That was the Rangers' moment. And we said at the during this series, like, rust versus rest, definitely that the Lightning suffered from the layoff, I think. However, the longer this series were to go, the more it was going to benefit Tampa Bay for being off. Mm-hmm. They look quicker. They look fresher. And I think that's where you saw it. I think you started to see, you know, which team had a little more hop. And they just didn't give the Rangers anything.
The Rangers played their 20th game in 40 days. Only once in that span did they have 2 days in a row off.
Right.
And that's what happens when you don't have a short series in the playoffs. They went to 7 against the Penguins. They went to 7 against the Hurricanes. You don't get time off. You don't get to rest. And the injuries start mounting, too. We know Dylan Strome was hurt.
Exactly.
You know, we know they had other injuries. You know, you could see Strome struggling. I mean, he missed, what, game 4, played game 5 and 6, but you could tell he wasn't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you don't have a short series somewhere along the way, it's really hard to win a Stanley Cup because it's just so many games in a short amount of time. And they're physical games, and they're mental games, too. The mental grind of it is just as much as the physical. But the Lightning, Igor Shesterkin was fantastic. No question he's one of the best goalies in the league. He played fantastic. The Lightning are just a better team than the Rangers at this time. Rangers are going to get better, and they're going to be good for a while. But the Lightning are a better team, despite what some of the New York writers have been writing early
on
in the series.
His name?
Stan Fischler?
Stan Fischler. He's a legend.
He's a legend, and I love this tweet from after game 2. He says, save your analytics. Here's the deal as I've been trying to tell you. The jaded Tampa Bay Lightning respectfully are done. Toast. A sweep is in the works. They've lost to a better, younger New York Rangers team, and they've lost to attrition as in injuries, as in Braden Point. As I noted in a conservative prediction of a 6-game series win for the Rangers, goaltending rules. The Lightning's Andre Vasilevskiy is tired, vulnerable, and failed to steal game 2. He had to in order to keep his club alive. Add New York's depth as a reason why the Bolts' home ice equals 0. And then he goes on, you know, there's a reason why teams don't win 3 straight cups and da da da.
Yeah.
But yeah, freezing cold takes is going to take that.
Ooh, that one did not age well. It did not age well. They did not win another game after that.
And I'll give him credit. He has eaten it on Twitter since then, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, what choice does he have, right? And I agree with everything you said. I mean, we'll get into, like, John Cooper made some of those comments, too, that he thinks that the Rangers are going to be around for a while for the same reason the Lightning are, which is – in large part due to their goaltending, and Shesterkin has that ability too. So we'll talk more about the Lightning here in just a second and about their match in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals against Colorado. But first, have you been outside? Yeah, it's melting out there. And we don't want you to suffer the summer with that old AC system. Do this for us, folks. Please call the experts at Air Rescue. Air Rescue offers superior service at really just unbeatable prices. Now, your air conditioning unit is going to perform 10% better and last longer with regular maintenance by Air Rescue. They have an award-winning team. They deliver 24 hours. In fact, they have emergency service 24/7, 100% satisfaction guaranteed for residential. They have installation and repairs, and it's family-owned, over 75 years in the business. You can't beat these folks at Air Rescue. And get this, sometimes the money's short, but you got to have AC, man. You're not going to die down here not having AC. But they got 100% financing, affordable payments, very easy application process, no administration or bank fees or any kind of extra cost with all that financing. What else do you want, man? Call Air Rescue at 813-612-5600, or you can go to airrescueflorida.com. For your air conditioning experts, it's Air Rescue. So to put in perspective of what this team has done, the Lightning, going back to a finals for 3 straight years, forgetting about whether they win it or not, which puts them in a whole other category, this is the sort of thing that I don't think 50 years from now, you know, we'll begin to really appreciate. And, you know, as great as the Rays have been, and they've been great, and they won 100 games last year, and they've been to 2 World Series, and, you know, won the AL East back-to-back and all of that. As great as the Bucks have been under Tom Brady, winning a Super Bowl his first year, 29 games in 2 seasons, going back to the NFC Divisional Playoff game, so close to beating the Rams and maybe going to another Super Bowl, and Brady's back another year. I don't think, in my lifetime anyway, and I don't know how many more years I've got left, but maybe in my son's lifetime, we will see a run in Tampa Bay sports. It's very unlikely we will see a team in Tampa Bay sports history go to the championship of their respective sport 3 straight seasons, much less win at least 2 and maybe 3. We'll see what the rest of the story is. But just the mere fact that this team is in the finals for a 3rd straight year as back-to-back champions, it will take years to really, I mean, we've witnessed it. We've seen it through a pandemic, through, you know, quarantine, partial fans, like, you know, shortened seasons or off seasons, rather, the most reprehensible circumstances in some ways. But there's no way to put in perspective right now when you're in the middle of it. And John Romano wrote about this, and I totally agree with him. Savor this right now. Forget about what happens beginning Wednesday, you know, against Colorado. Please understand what you're witnessing, because it is phenomenal and unprecedented what this group of guys, and mostly a core group of players, and of course some very important additions all 3 years really, have done to get to this point. Three straight finals. It's remarkable. And they're the best. To me, they're the best organization in sport right now.
It's hard to argue. I mean, you look at the run they're on for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
The most wins, six Eastern Conference finals.
Six.
Four Stanley Cup finals. They've won two cups already. A shot at their third. I mean, I'm trying to find the tweet, but in the last 40 years, teams that have made three consecutive championship games, the Lightning, the Oilers in the mid-80s, the Bulls in the 90s twice, and there's another team somewhere in there. I can't remember who it was. Oh, the Yankees did it like 08 to 2010.
Okay.
And there may be one other, but that's it. I mean, it's a short list. You don't. The Patriots did it, too. They went to three straight Super Bowls. It's so rare. And this team isn't done. I mean, next year, most of this team's going to be back, too. It's an incredible run. I mean, what they've done in hockey, and let me pull up, I want to get the info right here. The Bolts are in the Stanley Cup for the final for the fifth time in franchise history. Only three non-original six franchises have more appearances in the Stanley Cup finals.
Okay, stop there. Yeah. Stop there. Only three non-original six teams have more appearances.
The Flyers have been in there eight. The Oilers, seven, and the Penguins, six. Tampa Bay joined the NHL in 1992. Edmonton joined 20 years before that. Philly and Pittsburgh joined 5 years before Edmonton.
Yeah.
It's incredible what this team has done.
And the core is the same. Now, the one thing, it was really, you know, John Cooper sometimes, you know, can be exquisite after games, or he can just not be very good at all. He was phenomenal after this championship, Eastern Conference championship. What he said, you know, you tend to think that, wow, like Lightning struck twice or struck and they've had this run. No, they put in the work, man. Like this team could have folded itself a long time ago. All the, you know, you mentioned all the finals they've been to. They didn't win them. You know, they didn't always win them. And, you know, whether it was losing to Chicago in the Stanley Cup Finals, whether it was losing to Washington in Eastern Conference Finals, all the trials that this team had to go through to get to this point, you know, and as John Tortorella said the other day, I think I woke up a monster or created a monster when Columbus swept them, you know, after they won the most games or had the most points in the NHL that year. That's really where this is born from. You know, it's born from all those close calls, you know, and they could have ripped the team apart. The players themselves could have become frustrated, but all it did was sharpen them and sharpen their resolve. And that's a hard thing to do in sport, you know, to bump your head against it so many times. I think we tend to look at the right now and just say, wow, they're on an incredible run. Well, no, this run is born of failure. You know what I mean? It's born of heartache.
The Bulls runs for years were, you know, it was you had to get through Boston and you had to get through Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lightning, I mean, they were up 2-1 against Chicago in the 15th Stanley Cup. And they lose three straight for the first time that season. The next year, they get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, take a 3-2 lead on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Lose game 6 and 7. The next season, they get off to a really bad start, get hot late, but miss the playoffs.
Yep.
The team as talented as they are missed the playoffs. The next year they come back, they go back to the Eastern Conference Finals, take another 3-2 lead, and don't score another goal the rest of the series. Washington goes on.
Game six and seven, I was at, I think I was at one or both of them, they'd see a goal.
Yeah, six was here, seven was there. But
yeah.
Then, or I'm sorry.
No, seven was here.
Yeah, seven was here. Got that backwards. Then the next year, they go on and set NHL records, 62 wins, 128 points.
Oh, they lit fools up, lit them up.
They win all the trophies, the Hart Trophy, Vezina, the Norris. Mm-hmm. They're winning them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get swept.
After a 3-1 lead or a 3-0 lead in game one. Yep. Yeah.
And we can talk about the reasons why they got swept. But then they have to go to the NHL Honors after the Stanley Cup is awarded that year because Kucherov's winning an award and Vasilevsky's winning an award and Hedman's winning an award and the team's being recognized. And they have to go, and they're seeing Keenan Thompson up there making fun of them all night long.
Yeah, they remember that.
They have to sit there and eat it, and they did. But you know what? That monster that Tortorella talked about, I mean, all this is part of it.
Yep.
You know, you don't become that good just because you're that good.
Right.
You know, it's those scars. It's that's what drives them.
Yeah. You got to have the right leadership. You got to have the right guys in that room because a lot of players, that resolve, you might have that resolve, but it doesn't fuel you the way it's fueled this team.
Mm-hmm.
This team plays with a chip. This team remembers every one of those that you just mentioned. They, you know, the core of them, to their core, like you said, has scar tissue, and they draw on it, man, and they draw on it at the most important times, and they're so committed to, you know, playing the right way and not caring who gets credit and not trying to do more or less than they need to do, and they're the ultimate definition of a great team, and it starts with goaltending, I think. You know, I mean, look what Vasilevsky has done in series clinching games.
Mm-hmm.
How few goals he has allowed, but it's a team thing, man.
Well, and the leadership. Game six last night. I mean, his team didn't give up a lot to Vasi. I mean, Vasi made the saves he needed to.
Sure, but he didn't have that many chances. Right. He didn't need them. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That may have been one of his easier clinching games, to be honest.
Probably was. He didn't face that many shots or that many hard chances, but you know, and then. I'm sorry, but I'm kind of sentimental this way. You know, a couple years ago when they were in the bubble and Stamkos came back, what was it, game five or something like that, whatever, he came in and had that one shift and scored. Like, that's still, to me, one of the big goosebump moments in sports, and certainly in Tampa Bay sports. Like, how the hell did that happen, right? And you look back on it, and he was with them the whole way. He had a personal tragedy during that Stanley Cup, I believe. His wife lost a child. I mean, they had all kinds of things were going on. Stamkos, who just, you know, at that point in his career, injuries had just gotten him, right? Like, it just didn't look like he was ever going to get out from under what had just been this string of bad luck and, you know, at the worst time. And for him to have come from that point to the Hall of Fame moments that he just had the other night, scoring the two goals in the clinching game, you know, against the Rangers, that's the stuff of legend. Like, that is what is, you know, when they talk about champions and they talk about the history of this game, I mean, Stamkos, you know, to me, if there was any doubt, he is sealing his Hall of Fame entry, you know, with every win and every performance. And I didn't realize this, has not missed a game in this season.
Mm-hmm. This,
not a game.
You could argue this was his best season ever.
Yes.
I mean, he had 60 goals in a season.
He's had more goals, yeah.
But
sure.
He had the most points of the season. Set the franchise record, over 100 points.
Over 100, yeah.
That's the franchise record he set.
Mm-hmm.
He had to carry this team when Nikita Kucherov missed basically the first half of the season and Braden Point missed a chunk of that first half.
Right.
You know, he was the offense. He was carrying this team at that point.
Right.
And he's been playing phenomenal in this playoffs, too.
And plays all over the ice. Like, I'm telling you, at the end of game six, when they got into that, just a melee, sort of.
Oh, game five, when, yeah. When, yep.
Cooch, yeah. Oh, it was game five. Game five. Cooch fires the puck late and it hits a guy and he cross checks him. And then it was on, right? And when the captain got into it and was taking chunks out of dudes, that was like. Mm-hmm. Fire I haven't seen, and it really, like, even his own teammates were like banging sticks on that one. Like that was, that's pretty cool to see.
Who was laying on the ice to block shots at the end of the game six to clinch it?
Yes, yes.
It was Stamkos laying down blocking shots.
It was Steven Stamkos, yes.
And that's a guy you're almost going, if he didn't do that, you're okay with it because of his injury history.
Right.
But that's not the way he plays.
Because of what he means. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, it was inspiring. Like there are some performances that are just inspiring. And for him, you know, look, the penalty could have changed the narrative of the whole series. You know, the Rangers probably going to lose 1-0. They get the power play. They hadn't beaten them 5-on-5. I think their last three goals of the series were power play goals. And so they get the goal. And if they win that game, if they come back, score again somewhere, and they beat them 2-1, they go back to New York, that could have changed history and Stamkos' history and everything else. A bad play by him. I don't think it was necessary. He gets the interference call, grabs the guy. But what does he do? You know, back on the ice, 20-something seconds later, boom, scores the game winner. I mean, that's the stuff of legends right there. That's the resolve. That's, you know, we don't panic. You know, we always think we have a chance. Well, even if it goes into overtime, like, but it's easy to say, like, you can say that, like, I'm going to get them back. You know, I'm going to get that one back. But to go out there and actually do it, like, less than 30 seconds later, it's crazy.
How
like,
about that pass from Palat?
Oh, my God. Oh.
That then sprung Stamkos. I mean,
look. Palat, you could argue, had the best series of anybody, right?
He's been incredible this whole playoffs, even though
yeah.
his point total is not always high. I mean, obviously, he had the two game winners in this series late. But
the number of plays he makes.
No, he's been he's been phenomenal the last few seasons.
That's true.
It's amazing because you have Stamkos, you have Kucherov, you have Braden Point, you have Victor Hedman, you have Andre Vasilevskiy. Andre Palat doesn't get talked about.
Right.
He just produces.
Yeah,
year in and year out. I mean, you know, the last few years he's been on that line with Point and Kucherov during the playoffs.
Sure. And he's always the third guy on the best line,
mm-hmm.
it seems. You know what I mean? With Tyler Johnson
and Kucherov,
that line. Yeah, back in the day. It seems like he's always the third guy you mentioned, but he's still here. And it might be his last year, I guess, you know, with all the free agency that they have to, you know, to atone for. But I mean, man, what a series. What a postseason he has had. What a run. Yeah. And it continues. And it continues now in Colorado against what, by almost any measurement, I think you could argue that Colorado's been the best team all year.
They didn't win the President's Trophy, although they led it for a lot of the season.
They were there, though. I mean, they were in the they were close.
I believe they're the best team in hockey. They had the best season, I should say. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
That might be a better way to put it, yeah.
They're deep. They're fast. They're physical.
Yeah.
I don't trust their goalie.
I know. That's the whole thing, right? Yep. Like, that's the confidence pick right there, right?
But also, if they play defense the way they played against some of those Western Conference teams in the playoffs,
they're in trouble.
The Lightning will light them up.
Absolutely.
Because they played I think they're capable of playing better. But they played a very leaky defense a lot of that playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Game one, game one, 8-6 or something like that?
They were facing Mike Smith. They were facing UC Saros. Jordan Binnington was there for a little, but then he got hurt, and then you're in the backup St. Louis goalie. I mean, they didn't face a good goalie either for a whole series.
Right.
I mean, you're sitting there going, nah. I mean, it's kind of like New York was facing second and third string goalies leading into the Tampa series.
That's right.
Colorado's kind of been the same way. It's, you know, Mike Smith's a starter, but do you trust him back there?
No.
You know, you face the backup once Binnington got hurt. Okay. You know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Colorado can come at you in waves, and I think they're deeper than any team and faster than the Lightning have faced this playoffs. But I still don't think their back end's nearly as good as the Lightning's.
And I mean, this is the series you face the other best team, right? These are the teams that survive. It's supposed to be a team that can win it all, and they can, and they have superstars because you don't get here without them. But when you get this far, there has to be something, you know, the pedigree that the Lightning have as having already done this, as already having won back-to-back. And then, you know, each series is different. Each team they played were different. And you're right. If you looked at the last, you know, if the third Stanley Cup Finals, this may be well be, you're right, this may well be the best team they played during this run in a final.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than Montreal, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, they may be better than the Islanders teams the last couple of years. They might be better than
any of those.
This teams, is probably the best team they will have faced in the 3 years. But definitely not the best goalie they faced.
But not the best goaltending. And I'm sorry, but that seems to me to be where it's going to be a huge advantage. And the fact that, you know, the Lightning have so much confidence in him back there and know how to protect him. And if they you know, keep their same resolve and their same system, they're going to get a couple days here, but not too many days. Now Colorado has to battle the rust.
They'll have 9 days
rest.
Off, the same amount the Lightning had off going into the Rangers.
That's a hard thing to do, man. And you talk about goaltending, I think that's where it shows up the best, or the worst, as the case may be. I can't help but think that Vasi, you know, a guy that likes to play a lot, right, used to playing every other night, doesn't take many days off, certainly none during the postseason, I think that's probably the person that was most affected because he's never coming off the ice. And if you go ahead and sort of translate that over to Colorado and a lesser goaltender than Vasi was, if it affected Vasilevskiy, it's going to affect everybody. So, yeah, I mean, again, the mission is, if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, go get one of these two games in Colorado, take the home ice away, and move on. And,
yeah,
and
the pressure's
they've been
on
great
Colorado.
This year at home. I mean, that's the thing about the Lightning now. This year, they've been great at home.
That's six straight at home now, I think?
Yeah. I don't think they've lost, right?
They did early, but they haven't.
Not in a while. They're on a run here.
But, yeah, they've been fantastic at home. The pressure's on Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They're the favorites.
Yep.
They're at home. The Lightning just need to steal one of the first two. Doesn't matter
That's
which
it.
One. You could lay a dud in game one even.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. You know, Alex Killorn said this, and I think it's something we know, but he put it really succinctly and said it. He goes, look, the team that wins are the ones that get better
as the
throughout
series goes on.
And Tampa Bay does that.
Right.
They get
right.
better as the series goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think every other team can say that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, that Stan Fischler tweet and many other New York media and guys who cover the Rangers, you know, the Rangers already won the series. It was over. It's not. I mean, it's not until you win four.
Yeah.
It's not win two. It's win four.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and even in game two of the Rangers series, that third period, you could see the Lightning started figuring things out.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that series wasn't going to go a sweep to the Rangers.
Right.
You didn't, you know, maybe the Lightning don't win it. You don't know. But you could see that, okay, they started to figure it out. They make adjustments, and they do it very well. And I think they self-analyze very well. And they've talked about that, even in the room. Like, when they go through film sessions, and I know you've heard Pierre-Edouard Belmar say this and others. You know, they go through film sessions, and it's not just Riley Nash getting picked on for a mistake. It's Steven Stamkos. It's Nikita Kucherov. It's their equal opportunity of, this was a mistake. This is what we need to fix. And it doesn't matter who it is on the tape.
Right.
And in the room, what they say things. It's about getting better as a team. It's not they don't play favorites or protect guys. It's
right.
They're honest in there. And I don't know how true that is in every locker room.
Right. And they do get better. They get better as the series goes on and you know, you've seen that. And look, it's hard, really hard to go down 2-0 in a 7-game series and then come back and win it, much less win it in 6. That's rare, you know. I forget the stats, but I remember when they were down 2-0, didn't look real good for them. So you don't want to do that, but it also shows that they are able to correct their mistakes. It shows that they're able to, you know, to bury the performances and learn from the ones that they, you know, that they don't when they don't win, and they come out and they're better for it the next time out. So we still got a few days until Wednesday, but I totally agree with Romano. Go read him in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. This is something to savor right now. Who knows what will happen, you know, starting Wednesday. And maybe maybe they skate off and have a three-peat, which is just unfathomable, in my opinion. Like, that, to win a championship, and especially that one, we talked about this, like, you know, there's parity in the NFL like nobody's business, right? There's a salary cap, and there is in the NHL too. I understand that. But, you know, you can sometimes win three games. You can have home field throughout the playoffs. Like, it's one and loser go home. They're not serious. The war of attrition, the mental fatigue, the actual fatigue, like, there can't be a championship that's harder on the soul than the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, that's what makes it so great. It's what makes the finals so great. And for them to have done this and run this marathon 3 years in a row and be in front 3 years in a row, it is just something that I'll never see in my lifetime again. And, hey, if it inspires the Rays and the Bucks and look like a fool, I look like Stan, you know, for saying this, I just don't think we're going to see it, because I just know how hard it is to win championships in North American sports. And they're making it look easy, and it's so incredibly difficult. And so don't take it for granted, because this is nowhere near approaching the norm. You know, and what this organization, and it's from the top down, it's from Jeffrey Vinnick on down, they should be applauded. And, you know, it's as good as anything in sport right now. And I'm excited for their Lightning fans. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what it's like. I mean, what a ride to know that you have this team to root for. It's just phenomenal. And I did mention, and look, I'm going to kind of segue here. It's an awkward one, but on the same night this is occurring, Mike Evans is having his first ever gala for his family foundation. Now, he's had the family foundation for a number of years, and we know he does a lot of things with scholarships, you know, things to help the survivors of domestic abuse, you know, children in general, and more things than we even know about it, because Mike is not one to seek publicity for any of it. But this was a big deal at the Marriott. This was a big gala with a lot of money raised, and I mean a lot of money raised. We don't have the totals yet, but it was impressive. They had a silent auction. They had a real auction. They had people just, you know, yelling out sponsorship dollars and things like that. And the most impressive thing to me, and maybe I'm overplaying this, maybe not, is that, you know, he took the time at his own gala to honor what he called like 13 pillars of the community. And many of them were, you know, Buccaneer people, Brian Ford and, you know, the social justice council that they have with the Bucks, which is Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith, guys like that. So there were a number of people with, you know, within the community and the Bucks community in general, the Jackson Action 83 Foundation, Vincent Jackson's widow was there. That was quite a moment, standing ovation for them. And so he took the time out to do that. But when you see someone like Tom Brady, you know, show up, because we're all kind of wondering, what if Brady will be here? He was there. And he not only was there, but he was there with his two kids, you know, Vivian and Benjamin. And he sat right in the front. And it got to be the point where they had to bring in, you know, some security to sit around the poor guy, or him and his family were going to be pestered to death. Because everybody wanted a photo. Everybody wanted to say hi. And he tolerated all of that. But he showed up for Mike Evans. And he was leaving the next day to go to New York with his family and spend time with his son up there as well. And it was impressive. And it was impressive, you know, to see the core of this team. And there were a bunch of other Buccaneers there as well throughout the audience. Carlton Davis, one of those guys that was honored with that group. You know, I saw Cyril Grayson. Like, there's a lot of players that came out to support Mike. And Mike is as good a player as the Bucks have ever had, okay? He is on a career arc that's going to take him to Canton. I really believe he's going to be there. You know, he's had 8 straight seasons of 1,000 yards. He's approaching 10,000 yards for a career, which used to be a pretty good benchmark for making the Hall of Fame. It's changed now with, you know, with the amount of passing yards in the game and that sort of thing. But, you know, Mike's a Super Bowl champion. He's a multiple-time Pro Bowler. He has a chance to make it to Canton. And it was just, you know, for Tom Brady to not leave town, to wait, to come to this event, his kids were so well-behaved. Benjamin bid $10,000 on a game-worn jersey by Mike and got it. So kudos to Benjamin. I don't know where you got 10 grand laying around, but hey, I guess you're, you know, doing a lot of homework or whatever. But you know, that was just another contribution by TB12 to his teammate. It was just really cool. I say this because this is a special bunch of players on this team. You know, like you talk about the Lightning and you talk about that core of players with Stamkos mm-hmm. and Hedman and Kucherov and Killorn and, you know, all those guys. There's a group of guys that are the core of the Buccaneers team. And it all changed, no doubt, having Tom Brady, who was the Lord of the Rings, you know, greatest quarterback of all time. My next ring is my favorite, all that. That's real. That's why they got the last one. But Tom Brady doesn't come here unless it's a special group of players and talented guys. And they got that going now. And I don't know what Todd Bowles is going to do. I don't know if that's going to be better, worse, the same. I mean, there's a lot of highway ahead of these guys. But much like the Lightning, this current Buccaneer core is pretty important. It's pretty rare. And when you talk to them, they all do stuff in the community. They all care about each other. That's the biggest thing, is they all care about each other. They all support each other on and off the field. It's really neat to see. So we're living in a very blessed time. And that ballroom was full. And the community came out to support Mike, who I know is going to do great things with the money he raised. So it was a great night. I was glad I was there. I was glad to be able to contribute to his foundation and stuff. And really impressive that Tom, you know, took the time and the effort to come and participate. And it was just really good to see.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And last but not least, the Tampa Bay Rays managed to at least salvage one game in their series at Minnesota after having left here with a sweep of the Cardinals, but they got the final game anyway. Now it's on to the Evil Empire. After a day off today, they're going to play the New York Yankees. And as good as the Rays have been, and look, with all their injuries, and they have a ton of injuries right now, you know, they're 10 games over 500, which most years you'd be like, yeah, I'll take it. That's pretty damn good. And you know what? It is. They've done it with just the slightest bit of offense. They did win 5-0, you know, on Sunday, but you know, for the most part, they've been challenged, to say the very least, scoring runs. But they're in third place in the American League East. Like, for all their effort, the Yankees are just running away. And Aaron Judge, who bet on himself, is, you know, having a Maris-like year for the Yankees. And you know, so this is a big series. They're all big when you play in the American League East, whoever you're playing, but especially in New York, for the Rays to try to make up a little bit of ground. But as it stands right now, I think they would make the postseason. All, you know, three or maybe even four teams in the East would, but it's a uphill swim against this Yankee team, who just pummeled the Chicago Cubs, and you know, so I'm anxious to see sort of how they perform up there. But I am too, but
on a better note for the Rays, Shane Boz was back this weekend.
He was. Maybe he wasn't effective. Pitch.
Well, but
he's back.
But he's back. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that helps.
Patino is starting to rehab now. Mm-hmm. Andrew Kittredge is having Tommy John surgery. That's bad.
Terrible.
But, you know, you're starting to hopefully get some more of these pitchers back.
But their pitching has been phenomenal, and it is going to help them to get those guys back. I'm not mm-hmm. going to minimize that. The problem is they are challenged to score runs like they have never been before. And that's saying something, right? Zunino now on the IL with the shoulder problem. You know, he had 30 bombs a year ago. We have no idea where Brandon Lau is. He had 39 bombs a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kiermaier hit another home run. I think he's now tied again with Randy Arozarena for the lead.
Dropped the ball, too.
Dropped the ball. How about that? Yeah.
And by the way, the base running.
Oh, my God.
This team.
Horrendous.
Does so many things well. They can analyze everything pitch by pitch and change your mechanics and bring in hitters that are on the scrap heap elsewhere and become serviceable, if not plus hitters here. They can turn G-Man Choi into at least an average,
defensive,
if not
first baseman.
better than average first baseman.
Yeah.
Base running is awful on this team.
Horrendous.
You challenge it, and the outfielder makes a hell of a throw home, and you get thrown out. Okay, you tip your cap. I mean, not every out on the base pass is a bad out,
mm-hmm.
but they make a lot of bad outs on the base pass.
They had three on Saturday, and one was a pickoff. Like, and I didn't know this. Like, when they, you know, the Rays obviously lead the league in outs on the bases, but it didn't even include things like pickoffs, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, and Rosarena was picked off on Saturday, I believe it was.
And he was picked off, and they get tagged out everywhere. I mean, that's all they do is they get tagged out everywhere.
Kiermaier stole a base and overslid it and popped
overslid
up.
Overslid it. You know. They're the two biggest offenders, by the way, is Kiermaier and Rosarena.
Yes.
And they try to force the issue. I mean, they both are aggressive players. Now, Randy, who got plunked twice on Sunday, was not happy. He went all Gronk on the baseball bat after the second time he was hit, and he spiked the bat, and the benches, or at least Cash had to come get him and walk him down to first base. He took it out on him, though. Like, he stole second and third. I think he had like three steals in that game, but, you know, he's one of the biggest offenders for sure. So those two guys have run into their more than their fair share of outs, but yeah, they're horrendous. They're horrendous on the bases. And when you don't have much of an offense, I see why they want to push it. I see why they want to take the extra base, why they want to get, you know, steal bases, get in scoring position. But by the same token, you can't be stupid. You know, they're getting guys thrown out on ground balls to shortstop, you know, like, thrown out at third. Like, you just can't do that stuff. So, you know, this doesn't feel to me like a Rays team that's going to go very deep if in fact they do make the playoffs. Because I think they're challenged offensively, and they were anyway. And when you get into a short series, you know, we've talked about this. Like, you got to have some dogs. You know, you got to have the Aaron Judges and the Stantons and guys that are going to get big hits at big moments, 1 through 8. And I think the Rays are about 4 or 5 deep when they're healthy, and they're not even healthy right now. They're kind of spackling it together, and I credit, you know, them for winning as many games as they had with so many guys on the IL. But my goodness, are they challenged as much as they've ever been in the past. I don't know if there's trades to be made. I don't know if they can bring in some more bats at this point. I really don't. They're pitching lights out. I mean, they're pitching their butts off. And losing Kittredge is huge. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know how many Tommy John surgeries this is for the Rays right now, if it's anything above the norm. But it seems like, you know, every guy that's max use around here ends up with one.
How about Jeffrey Springs?
Yeah, oh my God.
That's two really good starts in a row.
Four out of his eight starts and or long appearances. I don't know whether this includes starts and or long appearances, but he has had four appearances where he didn't allow a run.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. So, yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, like I said, they find ways with their pitching. It's just it's stupid, and they'll get more guys back. But offensively, woof. I mean, you get past the 4 spot, the 5 spot maybe, and try to find a hit somewhere, you know, after that. It's been grim. There's a lot of guys hitting, you know, highway numbers, I-95, I-78. Like, it ain't good, man. Like, there's a lot of guys below the Mendoza line. So, you know, they definitely need an influx of offense. But, like I said, if I told you, hey, 10 games over 500, you know, here we are, middle of June, okay. You know, by the end of the year, they might be 20 over, right? Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're 10 over 60 in. So, I mean, that's a pace for.
It's pretty good. 90 plus
20 over.
Yeah. Right. No, for sure. And so it's not a bad record. It's just. It's the way, kind of the way they've gotten there, and sort of like, okay, where is this going to get better?
They're on pace for 94 and a half wins.
Right, which Okay. You know, we talked about this. Like, you know, their mastery of the Orioles is what got them the division the last few years. You know, and maybe not so much starting out this year for sure. They go to Baltimore after they play the Yankees, by the way. So maybe they'll start to make a little hay up there. But because Rosarena loves that ballpark, he gets like crazy up there. But, you know, they're right where they need to be in terms of their record, maybe, despite all these injuries. But, you know, the Yankees are just having one of these starts that's just legendary. And Aaron Judge is carrying them like nobody's business. Turned down a huge amount of money. He's gone out there and hit like 24 home runs already or whatever. So it's going to be a great series and looking forward to it. And that one will start on Tuesday night. So we'll have all of that to discuss as well as anything that goes on with the Bucks in this offseason. I'm going to take a little time off from the newspaper anyway. We'll still be doing this podcast. Might be involved if, say, Gronk were to decide to sign or something like that. But for the most part, this is the down season, the off season of the NFL. I was talking to Cyril Grayson the other day about it. I was like, man, it's been a long haul. You know, these guys, they spent a lot of time, in OTAs and mini camps, and they're ready to get away too. And so are the coaches, so are the GMs in the front office. So this is sort of our break before the big storm at the end of July. So are the beat writers. Oh my gosh. It's just been, you forget. I mean, it really begins like this whole odyssey began last July, and now we're just now kind of getting our heads over the water a little bit. And then we'll be back at it by the end of next month, and, you know, away they go, and who knows where it takes them. But they certainly are focused on winning it all, and they're not bashful about saying like it's zero-sum game. You know, this is it for Brady perhaps, and they got a really good team, and they feel confident about what they're doing, and we'll see if Todd Bowles and his approach will improve on what they had last year or not. But it's going to be fun. And we're going to have fun watching the Lightning Wednesday night in Denver against Colorado, man. That's going to be a great series and a chance to make history, make more history for the Tampa Bay area, and maybe, who knows, have another boat parade, which is uniquely Tampa Bay, and that's going to be fun to watch. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.